Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes you rise. There's no one like you. None like you. God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And what could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God.
Yes, Lord, we praise you because you are greater and you are stronger than anything else that we can lay our hands on, and we praise you and worship you now, Lord.
Jesus shall take the highest honor. Jesus shall take the highest praise. Let all the earth and it exalting the name which is above all other names. Let's bow the knee in humble adoration. For at his name every knee must bow. Let every tongue confess Christ, Christ, God's only Son. Sovereign Lord, we give you glory now. For honor and blessing and power belongs to you, belongs to you. All honor and blessing and power belongs to you, belongs to you, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus shall take the highest honor. Jesus shall take the highest praise. Let all the earth join heaven in exalting the name which is above all other names. Let bow the knee in humble adoration. For at his name every knee must bow. Let every tongue confess he is Christ, God's only Son. Sovereign Lord, we give you glory now. All honor and blessing and power belongs to you, belongs to you. All honor and blessing and power belongs to you, belongs to you. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God.
All honor, blessing, and power belongs to you, God. You are the Son of the living God, and we praise you for what you've done for us. Amen. Please take a seat.
Amen. It's great to have Charlie and Lou back this weekend and catch up on news with these guys. And they're doing a little bit of a family slot this morning because they're looking after all sorts of things this morning. It's great to have their ministry among us. So I'm going to hand over to Lou, who's just going to... Oh, he's just having a natter over there. That's fine. And Lou's just going to talk to us as a family, young and old, together. So over to you. Thanks, Lou. Ooh.
Good morning. I'm going to need this one.
Yeah, do you want that one? Yeah. You okay with that?
Hello, good morning. My name's Lee, for those of you who don't know me. I need some willing volunteers to come up and help me this morning. So come up if you're willing, just as many as possible. That's great. I might need some adults as well in a minute. But I heard, am I correct in thinking that you've had snow in the last week or so? Yes. Ooh, snow. Did it cause havoc? No? Was there enough to have snowball fights? Oh. Did anyone get to build a snowman? Yeah, we did. We live a bit higher. Oh God, disappeared.
I'll get a bit further away from the bottom. Move your hand up the microphone.
Hello. Right. Okay. So I thought this morning we would build a snowman. So what I need is two teams. Okay. So I'm probably going to need a team captain on each team. So Matt, can you come and help me? Can be a team captain. Okay, so Matt, you can grab a couple of these guys. You go on Matt's team. I need another team captain. Sam, do you want to come and be the rival of Matt? Yeah? Okay, so we're in competition for a bag of Maltesers here. Yeah, there is a prize. There's a prize. Over here. Right, so what you need to do, oh, do you want to go over this side, guys? Right, what we need to do is in your teams, you need to pick a willing volunteer, and I do not suggest that you pick Matt for this, because what we're going to do in a minute is build a snowman by wrapping up your volunteer in toilet paper. So don't pick Matt, because that's going to be tricky. I'd go for the smallest. And in a minute, I'm going to say ready, steady, go. And you are going to try and build the bestest snowman you can. Okay, so you want to build the bestest, the greatest snowman. And we'll have a audience vote afterwards to see whose is the best. So best would probably mean not being able to see any sort of your clothes or any of your skin. Nicely wrapped, all covered up. So, ready, on your marks, get set, go! Does anyone want to help? Does anyone? Yeah, thanks, Julian. Okay, we will have a time limit. Let's say we've got about a minute left. 30 seconds to go. Okay, we do a countdown. So countdown from 10. So we've got 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Stop! Stop rapping. Okay, do you want to turn around, Riley? Okay. Round of applause. Okay, now who looks more like a snowman? So, can we do, you've got one vote each. So if you would like to vote for this team, please put your hand up. Are they the greatest snowman? Okay, that's a good show of hands. How about this one? Hands up for this. Oh! Did someone vote twice? Sam, you might not have seen this, but you've won.
What? I can't tell, really.
You've won. Yeah. I will let you can rip your snowman apart. Now, the winners get Maltesers. That's right, isn't it? Yeah? And the losers, hold on a minute, Riley. The losers, they get this, which it's, I've just brought it from the kitchen, so you can't take it home because I get in trouble with Christine. But the losers get that. Is that right? Yep. However, that's not quite how, Phil's already said this morning, that's not quite what the Bible says. The Bible says something a bit different, that actually what God reckons is that the people that come first, who are the greatest, are actually the last, and the people that come the last are actually the greatest. So, Sam, I'm afraid I'm giving you the wooden spoon. Yay! So there is the wooden spoon, and Riley's team, they get the Maltesers. Because Jesus, he's quite radical. He sort of turns things on their heads. And actually, he says that the bestest way to be, the greatest thing that you can do, is actually to make other people more important. So, what's one thing that you could do with the Maltesers that would make other people more important? To share the Maltesers. So we'll share the Maltesers. So guys, what I want you to do is, Riley, listen, this week, I want you to try and remember that when you're at school or at home, is to think that maybe other people are more important to you than you. So when you're having your pudding at home and you've had your nice sponge pudding with your custard, and then there's only one more bit left, what would be the bestest thing to do, the greatest thing to do? To say, Erin, you could have the last bit of sponge and custard. Okay, so have a think about that this week. You guys can go and sit down. I think we're going into another song. Thinking about that as a song with some good words. So I think Charlie and the guys need to come up.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to sing. I want to serve the purpose of God. So if you'd like to stand, we'll sing, and I'll try not to trip over.
I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. And I want to serve the purpose of God while I am alive. And I want to keep my life for something that'll last forever. Oh, I delight to do your will. with silver and gold in my generation. I want to build with silver and gold while I am alive. And I want to give my life for something that'll last forever. Oh, I delight to do your will. What is on your heart? Show me what to do. Let me know your will, and I will follow you. What is on your heart? Show me what to do. Let me know your will, and I will follow you. I want to see the kingdom of God in my generation. I want to see the kingdom of God while I am alive. And I want to live my life for something that'll last forever. Oh, I delight to do your will. And I want to see the Lord come again in my generation. I want to see the Lord come again while I am alive. I want to give my life for something that'll last forever. Oh, I delight to do your will. What is on your heart? Show me what to do. Let me know your will, and I will follow you. What is on your heart? Show me what to do. Let me know your will, and I will follow you.
Yes, Lord, that's our prayer. We pray that we would know what's on your heart and that you would show us what to do. There's so many decisions and things that we make in life that we can make on our own, and we want to know your heart for us, Lord. We want to live for you. We know there's no better way. So we just praise you, and that's our prayer. Amen.
Amen. It's good to remember, isn't it? The kingdom of God is they call it a topsy-turvy kingdom. It's an upside-down kingdom where the last become first and the first become last, where the greatest is the servant of all. It is an upside-down kingdom that we're a part of, and God calls us to live like that every day. It's wonderful. few notices. I think there's some, hopefully there's some notices coming up on the screen. Just to remind you of a few things that are going on this week. A few things to be at, to pray about, and various things like that. You don't need to pray about tea and coffee in the hall. That just sort of happens. There you go. Thank you to those people who serve us in that way. Messages are online if you want to catch up with any on the series that we're in. We're in a series about Will the Real Jesus Stand Up? Because we want to know, part of our vision, we want to know. We want to know God. We want to know what he's really like. And we're trying to get back to the real Jesus and put him back in the context that he was in and the words that he said and the things that he did. So we're doing that. Don't forget that we have leadership elections, deacons elections coming up. And nomination forms, I believe, are available this morning, are they? They're on the stage, is that right? They are. I think they're on the stage. So nomination forms are on the stage. And hopefully you've got in your bulletin a little bit of a help as well in terms of thinking about nominations this time round. The deadline is the 1st of March, so you need to get those back to Amanda by the 1st of March. And we do need some nominations this year, folks. We're going to be slightly light on the diaconate by the end of the year with various changes in people's lives and all the rest of it. So we just need some new nominations this year. So pray who God is calling to help lead this fellowship and to serve. Do you know what deacon means? Deacon means servant. It means servant, which we're talking about later on. And this afternoon at 4:30, Martin is doing a one-off special here, The Life and Ministry of Johann Gerhard Onken, who I know nothing about. So if you know nothing about him, come along at 4:30 today, and Martin's just going to talk about this guy. Anything you want to say, Martin? Has it got an age limit on it? Is it 18 or? Okay. Yeah, I would say 18. Yes, absolutely. Oh, yes. Come along. That'd be good. So a great part of the Reformation, I assume, was it? Reformer?
A bit later than that, actually.
A bit later than Reformation.
1820s,
1860s. Fantastic. In Hebrews it says, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, this is one of the folks who have run that race and did it in an incredible way. So come along and hear about him and how he's an example of Christ to us, really. So dates for your diary, a few things. Don't forget this week we've got a prayer meeting this Wednesday at 8 o'clock. It's Lent. Lent is starting very soon and we're going to be remembering that. We're going to have a short time of reflection, a short service for half an hour. And then from 8:30 till 9:10, there's prayer station. So if you want some space to come along and be quiet and come quiet prayer, we're going to have prayer stations to help you. And it's a chance for you just to take a moment, you and God, just the two of you, okay? You don't have to talk to anybody else in that time, just you and God. And then at 9:10, we'll be gathering and we'll be praying together for local things and global things and things that are on our heart. You can come to any bit of that. If you've just got a half an hour on Wednesday, just come along. Don't worry about coming in and going out. But those are the timings. Come along. They're in your bulletin. Please come along and pray. That would be great. Lent is coming up. There's also a great book coming out, which links in with our series that we're doing, by Malcolm Duncan. Malcolm is the minister of Gold Hill Baptist Church. We heard him speak last year at our ministers' conference. And he wants you to take a little journey of 40 days with Jesus, which works perfectly for Lent. So if you want to do some reading over Lent and get to know the real Jesus, Malcolm Duncan's book is great for that. 40 Days with Jesus, Malcolm Duncan. You can get it online. It's about £8 from Eden or Amazon or somewhere like that. Or if you haven't got access to those, talk to me. I will happily order you one. And hopefully we'll have it for next Sunday. So do some reading over Lent. And it's a great time of reflection on Jesus. So do that. Don't forget, we have a funeral coming up, a Thanksgiving service for the life of Rob Watts, who died in the Philippines. And we're going to be thanking God for his life on the 14th of March. Details to follow. Put that in your diary. That would be great. But also in your diary, the end of May, 23rd and 24th, bank holiday weekend. Beginning of the school holidays, I think it is. So bank holiday weekend. May, June, half term, and we're going to the big church day out, and we want, oh, thanks. Oh, is that for the offering? Excellent, thank you very much. You're ahead of the game, it's really good. So come along to that, that'd be really good. We're hoping folks will sign up and come along to that, and don't forget, on the 19th of July, we're all going to Otford Manor. Our service will be at Otford Manor, our day will be at Otford Manor, we're catered for. And we want everybody, the whole church, to be there. And friends, family, whoever you want to invite, actually. We want to spend time together because we want to know God and we want to know each other. It's part of our vision. And we're putting some things in this year to make that happen. There you go. We hope you'll be there. Let's take up our offering just before our young people leave us into their groups. Let's continue worshipping God by giving to him out of grateful hearts. Let's do that. That's great. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we want to thank you for the blessings that you give to us as your people. Thank you that not only you turned water into wine, that you turned sinners into saints. Thank you for your grace and your forgiveness and your mercy in our lives. Thank you for being willing to be the Lord of our lives. But not only that, making us your friends. For all the blessings you pour out on us every single day, we thank you. And take what we give, not so we might pay you back, but so we might be expressing our gratitude to you. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Young people, have a great time as you head to your groups. Have fun.
Money was mine.
Oh, that 50p?
Yeah.
Was it yours?
Yeah, because I only have my 20p in here.
Oh, okay. Do you need it back? Okay. I'll sort it out. I'll sort it out. I'll get it. See me at the end. I'll sort it out. There you go, while they're going out, maybe you'd like to say hello to somebody. Have a look around you. Someone you know or someone you don't know, just say hello. There they go. That's great. At some point later on, I just thought I'd mention this, later on in the service, I have to sit there and make a little note. We've got the Baptist Union returns. We've got to do this. Do you know what they are? Basically, just they do a little head count of all the different people and ages that happen on this particular Sunday in the year. So I'm going to be guessing all of your ages this morning and writing them down. Are you? Mark is. I've got you in the 65-plus bracket, Mark. So if I'm looking around the congregation later on, I'm not staring at you, I'm just trying to guess your age. Don't worry about it. You can hold something up if you want, just to get it accurate. I don't know, we'll give it a go. Anyway, it's great that you're all here this morning. We have some guests here. It's great that some folks are coming here for the first time, but it's also great to have Anahita here, who is a guest of the Todds this weekend and was at the party last night. It was great. Dancing to Cotton Eye Joe. I thought that was particularly impressive. So do you want to come down here, Anahita? It'd be great to get to know you a little bit, because you're at All Nations. Anahita is at All Nations College and training there, aren't you, at the moment? Let me give... Hang on, I will give you that one. There you go. It should work. Hold it close enough. You're all right. Yeah. You get used to this, I suppose. Do you have to do this at college? Do you have to do sort of public speaking and things?
Sometimes, yes.
Do you? Yeah. Bit scary.
No, not for me.
Are you all right?
Yes.
Hey! We had a thing, at Spurgeon's we used to have a thing called sermon class. It's changed now, but it was incredibly scary when I had to do it. They used to video it, and the entire college would listen to your preach. Yes. Ominous. So they don't do that to you at All Nations?
We do, yeah. We
they do?
We have training for that, yes.
Do they?
Yes.
You're very brave.
Yes.
They're very brave. Now, obviously, you're just visiting here. You know the Todds quite well, and that's brilliant. But where is home for you? Where are your mum and dad?
So I come from Iran, Persia, which is in the Middle East. Yes. And my family are living. My parents and my sister are living there. And I have a brother in the U.S.
Fantastic. Yes. So how did you get that call to come and train at All Nations?
Well, it's related to my history of my church and my family, because I come from a missionary church that they have to sort of stop all their activities when the Islamic Revolution happened in 1979 in Iran. So yeah. All the missionaries left the country, and that was not an easy life after that for the Christians in Iran. And I was sort of brought up observing all that, you know, stuff then I always switched to do something and, you know, felt that I have the calling.
Fantastic. That's really good. So you're training at All Nations.
Yes.
And what are you training for? What are your hopes? What do you think God
so
might be
asking? So the course that I'm doing is BA, 3 years, which I'm on the halfway of that. It's called Biblical and Intercultural Studies. So it's for the people that they want to go for overseas training in a third culture. It's for the people that they are. It's a very multicultural college. And, you can go and be a missionary long-term or short-term.
Yeah, fantastic. Yes. So do you think, is the Lord guiding you so far? Do you think you've got an idea of where you might work for him?
I have no idea where that would be, but I think that I need more training because I want to work with blind people. That's how, how my church really, that was the first blind school that was by missionaries in Iran.
Is that connected with mum and dad?
Yes, because my parents, that's how they become Christian, because they're both blind, and my mother was at the blind school all her life.
Wow, yes, and they came to faith through the work that folks were doing with blind.
Yes,
blind community in Iran.
Yes, yes.
Ah, that's terrific. Yes. So the missionaries there.
Yes.
Wow, amazing. Yes. What is? I mean, you'll know better than any, but what is the situation with regard to the church in Iran at the moment? Obviously, it's probably very tough. There's a degree of persecution going on there. What is it like at the moment?
So the government is shutting all the churches, that former churches, like the church I am a member of.
Yeah.
So they shut the churches. And there is a huge network of underground Christians, which they are really very covering, they're very careful, and they're meeting in houses. That they really, it's not an easy situation for them because the government can easily come and arrest them, and they do that. And you heard on news sometimes that there are people on the leaders and the members, they are in the prison. And yes, that's not, we had hoped that the situation would become better for us, but what is obvious is unfortunately there's no,
it's not changing.
Change, no.
Okay. And you're not allowed, I think I'm right in saying you're not allowed to evangelize in Iran.
It's a crime. It's a title like being, it's a title that they can easily arrest you if you start evangelizing, or you start talking about your faith with people, or giving Bible to them, or invite them to your place just to pray. And the thing that people can, you know, do easily here is crime in Iran. They can come easily and arrest you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And is the church that your mum and dad were involved with, is that still operating? Or is that?
So they shot the church about 2 months ago, and they took all the people for irritation. And that was a very difficult time.
So they took them all in for questioning, all the members of the church?
Yeah, for instance, my parents, which they are, you know, both on the old age. They were sort of about 8-10 hours, very...
Really?
Yes, questioning them and the other members of the church. They can now use the church building, but it's just 4 of them.
Right.
And it's very, they're monitoring them very carefully. Well, all our life, you know, we're used to being monitored, but now they made it so obvious, and they made Christians isolated. They want to make it isolated, not to, you know, see each other and encourage each other, which is very important for people.
So it's very much like almost the New Testament, isn't it, with the persecution under Rome, that the church would meet in homes and meet privately and quietly in order that they could meet without being arrested.
Yes,
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
A tremendous faith of people out there just hanging on to God, even though there's no, you know, there's no advantage for them to do that in Iran, but they know God is more important.
Yes.
That's terrific.
Yes.
Well done. Yes. Brilliant. Is there anything we can pray for maybe mum and dad and the church or for you?
Yes, please. For the future of Christianity in Iran, because it's the underground network, is there are lots of people coming through TV satellites. There are lots of people that, because no one can really band it, they're trying to, you know, collect all their satellite, you know, receivers and stuff. But people are searching, they are seeking through internet, through TV satellites.
Okay.
A huge group of people are coming through dreams. So there are many people, so people are coming to faith.
I heard that.
All that, you know, yeah. Activities that the government is doing,
yeah.
just to ban people from, you know, have access to
yeah.
the gospel. But
I heard that in close countries that were actively saying you can't listen to anything about faith, Christianity and,
yes.
and the Lord, that a number of people are having visions, that they're coming
yes.
to faith by having dreams.
Yes. Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
It is, yes.
That God says, that's okay, if yeah. we can't get to you any other way, I'm coming personally. That's
yes.
really amazing.
That's the thing,
yeah.
yes, yes.
It's fantastic.
Yes.
And that's what he's doing. People yes. are having dreams and coming to faith there
yes.
in wonderful ways.
Yes.
And I think the church is growing, isn't it?
Even it
though
is
it's
growing,
underground,
yes.
it's actually growing.
Yes, yes,
yeah?
it is growing, yes.
Which is amazing.
Yes.
Bless you. Well, we're going to pray for you
thank
and we're
you.
Going to pray for your family
I
and
appreciate, thank
and
you.
For your future at All Nations.
Yes.
You're in year one?
So I'm on the... It's 3 years. I've done a year and a half, so I have another year and a half to be done.
Right, okay.
Yes. And
halfway
then I'm looking
through.
For, you know, training for working with blind people that I'm looking at different possibilities. And,
fantastic.
Yes,
that's really good.
Yes.
Bless you, Anahita. Thank you for sharing with us, and we're going to pray for you. Thank you. Take a seat, and I'll just lead us in our intercessions this morning. So it's great to have Anahita here with some first-person knowledge of what's going on out in the world. If you read Acts chapter 2, verse 9, it says there were people from Persia, and there were Parthians and Medes and Persians. On the day of Pentecost, on the moment that the church was born, people from Iran were there. And they were one of the very earliest churches on the planet. And having a tough time right now, and we need to pray for our brothers and sisters. Should we pray together? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for Anahita. Thank you for her faith. And for her courage, thank you for Mum and Dad, still out there in Iran, seeking still to serve you, even though the authorities there are trying to stop them talking about their love for you. We want to pray you'll protect them. Lord, we want to thank you that even in the midst of persecution, that you speak to people. That you don't even need us sometimes. You're just going to tell people anyway. And thank you for the way folks are seeing visions and having dreams. And then asking about you, this person that they've met. Thank you for introducing yourself personally. Will you bless the church there? Will you protect those who are serving you? Would you enable them to be able to serve you more? I want to pray for Pastor Benham Irani, who's imprisoned right now in Rajel Shahar prison under a 6-year sentence on charge of belief in Jesus Christ and for evangelism. And Lord, I want to thank you for the impact he's making, because the authorities have just put him in a place with a captive audience who can't get away from him. And thank you for the way that they're asking him, why are you here and why are you suffering when you could just deny your faith? And he's not. And people are coming to faith in that prison because of his presence there. Thank you for that man's faith, that he's putting your kingdom first, that he's willing to suffer so that others might know you. Thank you for so many in Iran who are doing exactly that. And Lord, would you challenge us? I read of an Iranian who just moved to Turkey and was overjoyed that he could now talk about you in public, and saw it as such a privilege. He was talking to everybody because he could now do it. And Lord, for us, as we live in this country where we have those privileges, where we can talk about the one we love, would you help us to have that same sense of privilege, that same sense of joy at being able to share the good news of Jesus Christ? Father, for Anahita, we pray for her too. We pray for her as she seeks your will for her life. Pray for her ministry. And Lord, if it's right that she finds a ministry working with those who are visually impaired, those who are blind, Lord, you just open those doors and help her to share your love with those who need it. And Lord, finally, we pray for ourselves. We pray for our church. We pray for those in our fellowship who need your help at this time. Those with health problems. Those with work pressures at the moment and concerns about work. Lord, those in our fellowship who are worried about family members or parents. For those, Lord, with the hard work to do and relational problems and needing to hear your voice when you say, go and speak with those who are you're at odds with. And Lord, for all of us here in this place, help us to be servants today, to serve somebody else, to be great in your eyes, for your eyes are the ones that count. We ask that in the wonderful name of Jesus, the greatest servant there was, who served us so wonderfully. We ask it in his name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We're just going to sing one more song, which is a song about making ourselves available as God's servants. And we're going to sing that just before Lou comes up and brings a reading and then just explains God's word to us. So let's sing, shall we? Let's stand together.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard the people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I am here the stars of night, I will make the darkness bright. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have heard
peace.
land. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide. Till their hearts are satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go.
Take a seat.
Well, good morning. It's lovely to see so many friendly faces again and lots of people that I don't know as well. For those of you who don't know Charlie and myself, I'll just give you a little update. So Charlie and I and our family, we came here and up until last Easter, just before Easter, this was our home church, and then we felt actually God calling us to go somewhere else, and we are now living in on the borders of Shropshire in Wales. Charlie, well, got a call really to go and work in a Christian residential centre up there, which has church groups, youth groups, school groups going and having their weekends away, their activity weeks, residentials. And Charlie's the maintenance manager. And for the last 10 months, we've been living off the site of where Charlie works in a lovely cottage in the sort of Welsh Valley. And it's been beautiful, lovely. But the intention was always for us to live on the site, the residential site where he works. And we have a bungalow there, which up until now has been used as guest accommodation. And so for the last few months, we've been renovating it to turn into a family home. And we've literally stripped everything out and, yeah, completely renovated this project. Not quite what we had in mind when we moved up there. But the last few months have been, quite hard work. Although Charlie's been able to use his maintenance team to... Shall I just turn this away? I'm getting feedback here. Although Charlie's been able to use his maintenance team to do the project, we've also been spending literally every sort of minute of our waking days and actually nights doing our project, as well as packing up our house and looking after the three kids as well and trying to do a job. So we're pretty exhausted, and the last few weeks have been sort of quite challenging. We've moved out of our rented accommodation and we're not actually in our new house yet, so all of our stuff is in storage. And we're in another holiday house at the moment. And so packing to come here this weekend was interesting, trying to find things. And it's been a bit crazy. So this Friday we've finally moved in, although it's still a bit of a building site. But it's been quite a tough few weeks. But what we've really sort of experienced over the last few weeks is how much people have sacrificed and given up to help us. Not just people like our family, like Charlie's dad and my dad and mum have come up and helped us. Ben has come up and sorted out one of the rooms for us, decorated it for us. But we've also been really overwhelmed with how much people that we've only just really met, school mums and people from our new church, have really sort of given up to help us. Painting and wallpaper stripping and taking stuff to the dump for us and fitting bathrooms and all sorts of things. And we've been really overwhelmed. And one little story I just wanted to tell you to sort of introduce our theme this morning is a lady from our church the other week. She's actually one of the elders at the church, and she has a family with three children. She also has a full-time job. She's a very busy lady, and also she's, over the last year, had a very stressful year with various things. And also the last 3 months, she's been off work for, 3 months with chronic migraine and having all sorts of tests and MRI scans and been on all sorts of medication, really suffering. When she's been able to get to church, which hasn't been very regular, she's bought her garden chair so that she can lie flat and in the service. And the other week, I came in, and I must have come in looking quite flustered with the three kids. Charlie was working, and you've all seen Roxy, and how she likes to scream and run around. She was in good spirits that morning, and I think I was looking all flustered. She managed to tear open a packet of raisins, and it literally sort of exploded all over the place, hitting people left, right, and centre. And then it was time for the children to go out. Took the children out to their groups, and in the groups that Erin and Roxy go to, there was only one person on duty. So I went out, and I was thinking, I'm gonna need to stay out with them. And this lady, she happened to be passing at the time, and she came in and she said, "I'll stay with them." I said, "No, you can't stay with them." She said, "Yes, I'll stay with them. You need to go in and you need to have a bit of a rest and sit down in the service," which is exactly what I needed to do because I was a bit frazzled. And I just thought that it was a little small thing. She probably didn't think it was much, but to me that was a massive moment of me feeling sort of loved and valued, and on her part, really sacrificial service, because she really needed to be sitting in the service. And that's what we are looking at this morning, how we can serve each other, how we can serve our family that are here. I'd like you to turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Part of the Real Jesus Stand Up series that you're going through at the moment. So John chapter 13. We're going to read from verse 1 down to 17. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and head as well, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash, except for the feet, to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." So this passage is a real gem to sort of look at, because John, who writes this account in the life of Jesus, gives us some really great sort of landmarks, some signposts, which helps us to get to grips with what is going on in this passage, and will hopefully get us to grips with what we can do as a result of reading what goes on here. You see, John, he really sets the scene for us, doesn't he? At the beginning, he gives us a really nice introduction. He sort of frames what is just about to happen. We know from what's just occurred that Jesus is no longer teaching the crowds. He's gone away to a room, a rented room, with his disciples. And it's just before the Passover. And it's supper time. So we've got that framework there. And we're also told that Jesus knows that he is soon going to be put to death. And that he has authority. And that he is going to, after he dies, return to be with the Father. And then we get to the crux of the passage. What John has been building up to. That Jesus gets up from supper and he washes his friend's feet. Now, foot washing was usually done at the beginning of, well, when a guest entered the house. Because they would often be wearing, they would be wearing sandals or perhaps no shoes. And their feet, because of the terrain out there, would be dusty, muddy, possibly even sort of splattered with bits of rubbish, maybe even poo, because, you know, what people would throw in the streets. Feet were dirty. Now, the washing would happen before people would sort of come to the meal, because often people would sit reclining at meals. So when you recline, you have your feet up, don't you? And you don't really want your dirty, smelly feet near your food. So the feet would be washed. And it was the responsibility of the host to wash the feet. So they would, because it was a not very nice job, they would often get their servants to wash their feet. Now in this case, in this scenario that we're reading, we know that it is a rented room that Jesus enters. So probably in this scenario, the person that it would fall to washing the feet, would most likely be the youngest of the disciples. But we read that it's actually Jesus who washes the feet into supper time. Now we also know from this passage, John's very helpful and sort of gives us some signposts to say that actually Jesus washing the disciples' feet is something that was out of the ordinary. It was an actually extraordinary thing that occurred. What I'd like you to do is just have a look at verse 12 for a second. Because when you sort of read this and you think, well, this is, you know, what the youngest disciple should have been washing the feet. The feet weren't washed at the beginning. Then Jesus gets down, he takes off his robe, he puts a towel around and he starts washing his feet. You know, what's going on? Well, John, in verse 12, really helpfully puts in this passage a question that Jesus asks, which we would probably like to know the answer to, because he asked the question, do you understand what I was doing? Brilliant. Because, you know, I'd quite like to know what was going on here. So what we're going to look at this morning is really three points that help us to understand what was going on. What was Jesus doing? Because in verse 15, Jesus tells us this, I have given you an example to follow. So Jesus gives us an example, and the disciples, and us as well, we need to follow this. And so there are three things that I think that Jesus gives us an example of. The first one is that we are to know who we are. Know who I am. You see, John makes it really clear that Jesus knows who he is. Jesus knows that he has authority, that he's about to go to the cross. He's very clear about who he is and what is about to happen to him. And his motivation was because he knew who he was. So in verse 3 it says, have a look at verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table. So it's because he knew who he was and what was about to happen that he was motivated to do what he did. And also John, who writes this down, also reveals that the disciples' understanding of who they are is a catalyst to what occurs. Now, I wonder when you read this, did you think, maybe we sort of have in our minds, that actually this was an event that Jesus had scheduled into his diary. He was thinking, right, I'm going to the cross very soon. I've got this last meal with the disciples. I'm going to schedule in washing their feet. I think possibly the passage actually points to something different. It's not something that was sort of a planned event. It's actually something that was probably in response to a misunderstanding of who the disciples thought they were. Because in the parallel passages, in the other records of this moment in time, in Luke and in Matthew, we see that actually the disciples are having a little bit of an argy-bargy. They're having a bit of a discussion. They're having a discussion about who was the greatest. And it's not a discussion that just happened then. Many times the disciples sort of have this argument. Who is the greatest among us? Who is going to sit on Jesus' right hand when we go to heaven? They were very concerned about who was the best, who was the greatest. And as Jesus comes to this meal, I imagine because he gets up during supper to wash their feet, he's probably given them time to wash their feet. They've had this discussion. They've maybe been too proud not to wash each other's feet because they're thinking, well, I'm more important than them. And therefore, Jesus thought, right, I'm going to need to demonstrate something here. I need to teach these guys something. We often misunderstand who we are, don't we? And that that grappling, that the discussion that the disciples had, is something that we grapple with constantly. That's something that's grappled with throughout history, throughout every single culture, throughout every single ideology. Who is the greatest? How can we get to be better? How can we get to be greater? You see it in all sorts of work of life, in how the education systems run, in how we sort of think about work and getting better. Even things like X Factor, I don't know if you follow, if you've ever watched the X Factor. But I'm sort of astounded every year. You see these people coming to audition to sing. It's this singing contest, which finally someone wins and they win a record contract, money and fame and celebrity. And you get these people coming to the audition. And often, you get the same thing time and time again. You hear people saying, or the chat coming out of there, they take their contestant, why here? And some again, you hear people saying, well, I just drive a van and I wanted something better. I just cleaned some toilets. I want something better. Sam Bailey, who won the X Factor in 2013, she came along and she said, I work in a prison, but, you know, I want something better. I want to be famous. I want something better for my family. I want to be able to provide for my family. And that's sort of in our mindset, isn't it? That we want something better. And that makes me quite sad about the X Factor, because we need good prison wardens, don't we? We need good toilet cleaners. We need really good van drivers. Who we are is really key to mastering this idea of servanthood, getting the right perspective of who we are. And I think one of the key verses in this passage is verse 14, where Jesus says, I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You ought to wash each other's feet. I, your Lord and teacher. I think that's the key really here, is, and a question for you, is Jesus your Lord and your teacher? There's sort of two parts to that, isn't there? Because I think when we sort of, when we're trying to get greater, we're trying to get better, it's because we're making ourselves Lord, and maybe other people teach us, but we're making ourselves Lord, we're living for ourselves. But when we start to submit to Jesus as Lord, and we look to him as teacher and example, that is when I becomes less and you becomes more. So know who we are. Second, the second example that I think Jesus sets here is an attitude of humility. Now, when I say to you, when we talk about serving, and if we think about people that are great examples of servants, if I ask you to give me a list, I can probably bet you that on that list would be Mother Teresa. A great example of a servant, somebody serving. And she dedicated her life to serving the poor in India. And in 1979, she was given the Nobel Peace Prize. And apparently, according to my research, she was, when she was offered the Nobel Peace Prize, they are also offered the opportunity to have a celebration meal. The winner can have this celebration meal. And when she was offered to have that and asked, you know, what do you want to do? Apparently, when she heard that the budget was around £190,000 for this meal, She asked for that money to be given to her work in India. She was a woman of great humility. She said this about humility in one of her journals called In the Heart of the World. Humility is the mother of all virtues, those virtues being purity, charity, and obedience. It is in being humble that our love becomes real, devoted, and ardent. If you are humble, nothing will touch you, neither praise nor disgrace, because you know what you are. If you are blamed, you will not be discouraged. If they call you a saint, you will not put yourself on a pedestal. Jesus was a man of humility. In this example of washing feet, it's just oozing with humility. Because one of the things that I found interesting when I read it was, John tells us that he knows that Judas is just about to betray him, doesn't he? He also knows that Peter is just about to deny him. And in our passage, it doesn't say that he doesn't wash Judas's feet. It very clearly says that he washes Peter's feet. So even though these friends of his who've been so close to him are about to deny him and betray him, he still carries on with this act of service of washing their feet. Great humility. It's because Jesus did not see himself above anyone else. He didn't use his rights as God, because he was God and he knew his authority. He didn't see that as above being able to do something in service. And Phil this morning, he introduced Philippians 2, and I'd like to read that to you. There's no need to turn to it. If you want to, you can. I would like to just read you a few verses from it, from Philippians 2. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honour and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God, of God the Father. Jesus, even though he was God, humbled himself. He washed the disciples' feet from all that scum and dirt that would have been on there. And in that passage in Philippians, it says in verse 5, you must have the same attitude. That attitude. It's worth going home and reading that. If you want something to sort of go back and think about, mull over, reflect on with this, I'll go back and read that passage again about Jesus and his humility in Philippians chapter 2. An attitude of humility will lead us to serve others. Serving isn't just about acting, is it? It's not just about what we do. It is an attitude. It's how we think about ourselves. You know, we often act out of our rights, don't we, of what we're owed. And we perhaps often act and help others, serve others who are easy to serve, and perhaps we sort of avoid the ones that are more difficult to serve. So perhaps this morning we also need to be examining our attitudes, and we need to be following in the footsteps of Jesus. And it's not just about what we do, but about how we think. We need to put on an attitude of humility. So we need to put on self-sacrifice of thinking, believing, living that other people are more important than us. So we need to know who we are. We need to have an attitude, not just sort of think, what can I do, but how can I rethink what I think about myself and others. And then we also need to be people of love, don't we? And that is the example that Jesus sets for us, love. Now, at the beginning of John 13 that we read, I'm just going to turn back to it. it says in verse 2, I think it is, oh no, verse 1, he had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. Now, I'm not very good with English, but apparently this term, he had loved, is actually what's called a casual particle. Now, I don't really know what all this means, but what it means is that actually it shows us the reason for what is about to come in John's writing. So really, it could be better translated maybe, because he loved his disciples, he then did this act. So really, the framework for what Jesus did is love. But can you think of times when you have served out of duty, just acting, sort of acting out of service, and compare that with when you have served out of love? I don't know if you've got any sort of examples that you can just quickly bring up in your head. You know, when you maybe have begrudgingly agreed to help at a church event, and you sort of huff and you puff your way through, making others feel uneasy and leaving you feeling exhausted. I don't know if you've ever, you know, done that. Maybe it's just me. Compare that with the time when you maybe made a meal for someone that's really struggling to cope or has been in hospital ill, and you've sat there, you know, making their, you know, their bolognese bake or something, and you've prayed for them and you've put lots of love in it. And they're so grateful, and you just feel so much love for this person. There is so much more power, isn't there, in that sort of service than the service when we sort of go, oh, okay, I'm gonna help at this and huff and puff. Love is much more powerful. And Jesus' command was a command of love, wasn't it? He said, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. This passage is asking us to serve each other. Now, there's many passages which talk about serving our neighbour and other people, but actually here he's talking to his disciples about the love that you can show to each other. And a little bit later on, Jesus goes on to pray just before he dies. And in his prayer, which John records in chapter 17, John prays and says that it's through the love that his disciples show to each other that actually the world will see the love of God. And that's what we, as we're thinking about mastering servanthood, we need to sort of hang on to, because as we love each other and serve each other in love, other people will look and go, wow, what is this? What is going on here? And that will draw other people to know Jesus and his love as well. The fruit of serving is other people coming to know Jesus. Mother Teresa also said this. She said many things about serving and humility, but she also said this. When she was asked, when she won her Nobel Prize, what can we do to promote world peace? She said very simply, she always said some more, but this is one of the bits, go home and love your family. This is an example. This washing of feet is an example for us to act in community. Now, does that mean that we need to go and start washing each other's feet? If we'd said this morning, you know, come along and we'll wash your feet as an act of service to each other, what would you have done before you came to the service? You'd have washed your feet, wouldn't you? I would have definitely washed my feet. It takes the point out of it, doesn't it? You know, Jesus isn't necessarily saying, you know, you need to actually wash each other's feet. What he's saying, I mean, that might be the case. And, you know, in the case of my grandma who's housebound and gets sores on her legs and feet, that would be the case. But maybe we need to be thinking about what is it that we can do to serve other people? And we need to be grasping this fact. Just think about who we are. Is Jesus your Lord? Do we have an attitude of humility that actually other people are better than us, that they are more important than us? And are we going to act in love? I'd like to close by reading Galatians 5 verse 13 and praying for you. You have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. So that's our status. That's who we are. We are in freedom because of what Jesus has done on the cross and his resurrection. Use your freedom to love one another. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say to you, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Love one another. Jesus, thank you that you have given us such a powerful example in that event in your life just before you died, that you humbled yourself, knowing that you were God, knowing that you were going to die, and you washed the disciples' feet. And thank you that you explained it for us, and you urged your disciples, you urge us to do the same. Sometimes it's really hard, God, to serve other people. Sometimes we feel so overwhelmed with life. There's so much that's going on in our own lives. And we often feel, too exhausted to serve. Jesus, please would you help us to take on your example and love other people in service. Please would you help us and remind us of who we are, of the fact that we are sinners, that we fall short of your glory, but that we are saved and that we are loved and valued by you. And thank you that you give us the power by your Holy Spirit to be humble. Please would you teach us to have humility. It's so hard in the world that we live in to be humble, to have humility, and we often rise above ourselves. Please would you help us to be on our knees really before you and to acknowledge you as our Lord and our teacher. God, would you go with us this week and help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear where we can be a servant. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to finish with our final song, which should hopefully be a good response, a reflection on what we've been looking at. From heaven you came, helpless babe, reminding us that Jesus is a servant king and that also we are called to serve and follow him.
From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered a world of glory veiled, not to be served but to serve, and give your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. There in the garden of tears, my heavy load he chose to bear. His heart with sorrow was torn. Yet not my will, but yours, he said. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. Come see his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice. is have flung stars into space. To cool nails, surrender. This is our God, our servant King. He calls us now to follow Him. During our lives, as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. So let us learn how to serve, and in our lives enthrone Him. Each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to our servant King.
Yes, Lord, we thank You that You are our servant King, and that You gave up Your place in glory to come down to earth to save us and to serve us. And how twisted that seems in our heads, that You would do that for us and that You would choose to serve us, and that the first would be last in that way. And we just thank You, Lord, and we pray that we would know You more and deeper and understand what You've done for us better. So we just pray, Lord, as we go out into this week, that You'd go with us and that You would inspire us and fill us with Your Spirit, that we would have passion to want to share our understanding of You with the people that we come into contact with, Lord. And I just pray that You would shine out of all of us. Amen. Trying to sing that song, it's just like I can just hear myself. It's too low, and I can't get down there.
Water, You turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like You, none like You. Into the darkness You shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no